This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard, not the billiards. It was
billiards room.
Come on already. Come on, we call it the...
The Place to Be.
The Place to Be, yes, the Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
But that's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nations, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
D'Lo Brown interfered with a frog splash and hit it on Severin, getting some revenge.
I know.
What the hell was it? What was that laugh? It was like an old cartoon fucking Hanna-Barbera dog or something. It was like Snidely? Was that the fucking dog that laughed like that?
AR's got a little more time than I do to sit and actually write a whole show.
This is the third time you said it to me today now. I'm really curious.
Well, I'm not saying that you have nothing to do. I'm just saying that
you're curious
day...
how. I'm curious how I have more free time than
no,
you.
I'm gonna, where is
what it? Does that mean?
Well... I don't know.
I know it's been a rough, and I know you're used to this long, grueling podcast schedule.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Are you guys just joking around for the next hour?
Fun. Did you say D'Amato, late 20s, 30s?
Was big.
And you included yourself in that as well?
I was being nice to him. I am still technically in my 30s.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
What the fuck is a shock wall?
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
He's going to go through the shock wall.
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. PTB Nation, let me know what
you
think.
Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard. All alone with me. Just because you're blessed with cash doesn't mean your honey won't let me finesse this. You see, the moral of the story is a woman need love. The kind your so-called players never dreamed of. You got to try love, can't buy love. If you play your hand, then it's bye-bye love.
Place to Be Nation! Welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I'm your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live here on this Wednesday night. It's time for some headlines, because we got a big pay-per-view coming Sunday. We'll talk a lot about that coming up. But let me bring in first the man who has the hottest takes in all of podcast world. So hot, they'll melt your computer. That is, of course, the one and only Mr. Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
Good evening, JR. Good evening, Place to Be Nation. Welcome.
I set you
to
up now, so I expect you to come out firing.
Oh, it's we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. Welcome to episode 236 of the Place to Be Podcast. It is Wednesday, and the weather's not entirely unpredictable. How's the patio coming?
Just waiting for my dad to come. We're gonna finish just putting that step in, and we'll be good to go. So
I'm looking forward to seeing
you. We gotta run out of time here. We got about 9 days left.
Yeah.
Forecast keeps changing, Scott. Let's hope today's is not right. Today said it's gonna 96 and feels like 99 or something like that.
Oh Jesus Christ! So. Oh my God! Ooh, that's
let's
terrible.
Hope it was more like it was yesterday when I said 70 and cloudy. That'd be beautiful. So.
And the current count. Have you seen the current count?
I think it's like 58.
Oh, wow. That's wow. When I last checked, and that was about 3 o'clock, it was 52.
Okay, maybe it's 52. You're right. We have like 18 maybes, but there's a lot of kids factored in there. So we're probably about like 40-ish adults, maybe 42-ish adults, and then probably, I think maybe a handful of maybes are going to come. So
okay.
Looking good.
Yes, looking very
good. Looking good, the Yankees finally putting up some fucking runs tonight. They have hung eight on Wade Davis, so they're up 8-0 on Kansas City. Your Mets won, which we'll talk about them a little bit later.
Yeah, Matt Cain bounced him out in the first inning. And Zach Wheeler, who I thought looked a little shaky the last couple starts, came out and pitched good today. And they won 7-2. Off day tomorrow, and then they play another struggling team, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Although, really, a lot of people think it's just because the Pirates, they're the kind of team that are streaky offensively, and they're playing Oakland, whose pitching has been very good. So, anyway.
They're getting rain delay right now. It's supposed to be in. I was actually looking forward to watching it, because that was supposed to be the Wednesday night game tonight in ESPN, Pittsburgh-Oakland, which is pretty cool.
It is very good, yeah.
But no, they're in a rain delay in Pittsburgh. Okay. So, all right, let's get started. We're going to talk, since we just did two headlines, basically. We already did a state of the show, state of the product, and we also just did the mid-year report. I don't think we need to go show by show. So what we're going to do is we'll talk a little bit about Raw last night,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe just quickly touch on TNA and Ring of Honor before we get to Money in the Bank. So,
okay.
Raw was very interesting. Not last time, sorry, two nights ago. Yep. Raw was very interesting. Of course, the major news to come out of it was the debut, finally, of the Wyatt family, Scott. So let's start there, because that's the biggest news. Did you think it delivered on all the hype?
Oh, absolutely. The dark. I love how they morphed the that video piece with the WWE.com reporter right into the open. That was awesome. Yep. Excellent production work there. And Husky's got it, man. You know, another guy who just needed some time to figure it out. He's got the pedigree. You know, he's IRS's kid.
Well, see, that's what developmental should be for, and it worked this time around. You send a guy, let him find his way, hone the gimmick, and bring that gimmick up. It's working. Why fuck around with it?
Right.
That's what it should be for.
Exactly. You don't have a guy do one thing and then bring him up to have him do something else, and then it looks like shit.
Right.
No.
That should be the job. Yes, that should be the job of developmental, is to find gimmicks that work and then come up and use them.
Exactly. You don't, you know, the only case where that, where a guy who was one thing in Tampa and is something different here was Johnny Curtis, who was just Johnny Curtis, and then, of course, he became Fandango. Mm-hmm. But he seemed to already get it anyway.
Right.
The Wyatts were amazing.
Did you think that was an effective beatdown on Kane?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I love the perfect spot to lay his head right on the steps and then slam it. You know, obviously he didn't really hit his head, but it was great effect. That's one thing about the steps. All you have to do is hear them, and it doesn't matter. That's where disbelief can be suspended.
Did you think they picked the right guy?
You know, it's funny you ask that, because I was talking to the Lumpy Silverback about this yesterday, Mr. Otellis. And I said, you know, Kane always seems to be the guinea pig for new gimmicks. Mm. Now, if the rumor is true about what they want to do at SummerSlam, then it's perfectly fine. Otherwise, it's okay. There's no one else you could really – there's no other babyface you could do that to that it wouldn't wreck whatever they're doing at the moment, if you know what I mean. You couldn't do that to Punk. You couldn't do it to Cena or to, you know, Sheamus or anybody like that. Had to be somebody that just needed to be collateral damage, and that's what Kane was. So in that instance, I don't have a problem with it. And I like that he made his two cousins or brothers or whatever the hell they are do the dirty work, and you know, he just went down there and did the whole praying. So it was a tremendous debut. I expect to see more of them. We have a couple stories on them a little bit later about their future, mm-hmm. which is I'm 50-50 on. About the news story, we'll talk about them in a few minutes. But the debut was fantastic. It definitely delivered, and I think because of that whole editing from the skit or from the promotion piece or the tape piece into the live intro, I thought that was perfect.
And I liked. I was fine with Kane, mainly because I think for them to attack someone like that, shows they're going to throw him right in with the big dog. You know, if they just came out and beat up like Zack Ryder or something,
right?
You don't know where they're laying them out to start. So I think them taking Kane out sends a good message. I'd like to see, like, next Monday Daniel Bryan come out and call them out, something like that. So I thought that'd be kind of cool. I thought it was a strong debut. The only thing that really pissed me off is a crowd chant Husky Harris. Like, okay, we know you guys are so super fucking smart and knowledgeable. You know it's Husky Harris. You really showed us at home that didn't know. That shit annoys me. I hate that fucking shit. Like,
yeah,
it's not funny. It's not cute. It's just lame. It ruins the moment. You know, this that awesome gimmick. Everyone's into it, and then you're just chanting Husky Harris. Like, anyone cares what you have to say. That fucking shit crowd. Where were they?
Baltimore.
Yeah, fuck you, Baltimore, and your stupid teams and your stupid crowds.
Yeah. You may have a winner.
Back to the Dew Burns.
but yeah, that sucked. And you know what? They kept it in the YouTube when they added it to their YouTube playlist. And if you go to the website, they kept it too. I don't know why, but usually you know them. They kind of get rid of that shit, but that's all right.
But yeah, great debut. Really dug it. So now the story out there is that Kane has suffered a brain or cervical spine trauma and will miss the Money in the Bank pay-per-view this Sunday.
Mm.
Now there's rumors circulating who's going to replace him. One is that it could be Bray Wyatt himself. Have you seen any other possibilities?
I haven't seen any other possibilities.
Okay. That's what do you think of Bray Wyatt maybe being in that match?
I
don't like it.
No, I don't like it either. He could certainly perform, but why stick him in such a high-profile spot after...
And he's not going to win. Unless you're going to give him the briefcase, I don't know, but I doubt it.
Nah, it's not. Leave him alone. Leave him.
Yeah. Unless you enter him in and he doesn't actually compete, maybe the other guys do and he just sits in the rocking chair or something. I don't know if they do something weird like that. But if he actually wrestles in the match and doesn't win, I think it's a bad move. If you want to take Kane out, fine. Just take him out and go down to six guys.
I have a prediction.
Okay, what is it?
Ryback.
So you think him and Jericho's early in the night?
Yeah, he beats. I think that's the opener. I think he beats Jericho in the opener.
Well, they usually open with a ladder match. They usually open with one of the Money in the Banks.
Yeah, I don't think they are this time.
Okay.
I think this time they open with, I think they'll open with Jericho, Ryback, and he wins. And then I think the second match will be the SmackDown Money in the Bank.
And then you think
Ryback. I think the Raw Money in the Bank is going to be last. I don't think Cena, Mark Henry is going to be last.
Possible.
The unless Mark Henry wins. Which would be pretty cool, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that, but...
Yeah. So, yeah, my pick. What do you like?
Well, we'll do that with our picks.
Oh, okay.
So, what else happened on Raw that you liked? Anything?
I got to tell you something. As much as I've been slamming the McMahons, not Triple H, but just the McMahons, for their insipid needing to be on this show, they did a fantastic job of almost turning Vicky Guerrero face.
Yeah.
I actually legitimately felt bad for her. I did.
Yeah.
I almost feel like the last few weeks she's been getting booed for no reason. Like, they've wanted her to be, like, she's almost tried to become a baby face, and the crowd just keeps booing her just for historical purposes.
You think she's gone for a while?
Yeah, I do. That doesn't mean, like I said, she was sympathetic, but that doesn't mean she needs to not be away. She needs to go away. But picking Brad Maddox is a colossal disaster.
You think that's going to last, though, or do you think that was just like a two-week thing and he fails and then Triple H brings someone in and that fails and the stuff
that's
brings...
what I think. Yeah, I think it's going to rotate. And honestly, I think from this point, I think this is where we finally... You've been asking for it for a while, JR, ever since you and I have been doing headlines for over 2 years now. I think you will finally see the end of the GM gimmick after this.
I hope so.
You and I have been... you have. I really haven't commented much on it, but you've been asking for it for a while.
Yeah, I just think it's lazy, you know?
Yeah.
Never needed it before. Do you think there's truth to this McMahon fucking WrestleMania fest coming up?
Probably.
You think they'll do Vince Triple H?
Oh, God, I hope not. They may do something similar to Lashley and Umaga.
Where they each pick a guy?
Where they each pick a guy. Now, does this mean Vince versus daughter and brother-in-law?
Or maybe it's a triple
Stephanie kind of sided with Triple H on Monday night as wanting to get rid of her.
Well, there's a lot of time between now and Mania, so.
Well, that's true, too.
Change a million times.
So we'll see. We'll answer the basic question. Are they going to get involved at WrestleMania? The answer is obviously yes.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, it makes sense. It's the 30th edition. They earn it.
Yeah.
You know, but.
New city that they've never been in. Well, never been in for a Mania. So they want to make an awesome atmosphere at the Superdome. So I don't think they're going to want to blow it.
Yeah.
More about Mania in a little bit. So, but anything else?
Oh, you told me you reviewed it.
On placetobenation.com.
Yes, check it out every Monday. Late Monday, every Monday night.
Yes. Bum, 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 bum. Punk Orton was good. The matches were all good.
Mm. Good to see Christian back, too.
Yes, I like Christian's spot.
Now, what did you think? You didn't really put too much opinion in this match. Now, I enjoyed it while we were recording. I saw a lot of love for the Shield versus Tons of Funk match. I was kind of disappointed not in the style of your review, just that you didn't kind of go into more of your thoughts on it. I mean,
it was okay.
Okay.
I didn't think it was anything earth-shattering. It was fine.
All right. It just seemed to get a lot of love around universe there. So.
No, it was okay. I mean, you know why people are getting love? Because it went longer than I think they thought it was going to. Like, wow, this match got like 9 minutes when it probably should have got like three. That's it. I don't think it was anything earth-shattering. I've seen better matches out of both of them against other opponents, but...
The opener, Sheamus and Daniel Bryan, you liked?
Yeah, I did.
That got a lot of
I did. Not just because Sheamus lost, but because it was a good match.
Yeah.
It was a very good match.
It was a nice win for Bryan. A nice clean win, which he needed.
Yep. Yeah. No, the show's been... I tell you something. Last month or so, Raw has not been that bad, and I'll tell you...
Well,
you
know, were the only one who liked last week's, but three out of the four have been pretty good. The two weeks...
I liked last week's. So I don't know
about it. Yeah, well, I'm just saying it seemed like you were the only one from everything out there. But anyway, the two before that were very good.
Yeah.
And last night's was pretty good, too.
You know why? I think the rumor's true. I think my man Dirty Dutch is helping out in the writing.
See, that was shot down, that rumor.
Hmm.
That said Heyman, Dutch, and Vince wrote that Raw. I don't know. Whatever's going on, it's working. And it kicked off at Payback, really. And since then, it's been pretty good.
Mm.
We'll see if they can capitalize. Money in the Bank, you know, the last couple of years have been very good shows. So we'll see if they can keep that momentum going into this year's edition.
Yes.
What do you think of the state of the promotion in general now? I know where they're hot. Do you like now that, remember, that Performance Center thing launches tomorrow?
Yeah, that's going to be a big deal. And obviously this is apparently where, well, that's not where the Hall of Fame is going to be, but I think it's a big deal for developmental. I think it's going to bring a lot of young people to want to get into the business. I think WWE's taking that much more seriously. That's true. This is a Triple H thing, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is all him. All the developmental stuff.
Yeah, this is all him. Vince isn't
touching. And it's worked. I mean, I think he's been successful in his first venture with the developmental. They brought up a lot of young talent, and they're using a lot of young talent. And I think they're in good shape for the future if they keep trending the right way with this kind of stuff. If they keep pushing the younger guys. I mean, you know, Cena at some point needs to fade at some point.
Yeah.
But I think they keep him strong into 30. I think he keeps the title right to WrestleMania. I really do.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I think he's going to get a year-long reign to make up for his shit year from, 28 to 29. So I think here he has a strong, strong year, and I think they finally maybe start to transition a little bit after 30 and have maybe someone big either beat him at Mania or right after.
Hmm.
I think if you have him go undefeated to Mania, Mania to Mania as champion, and face Taker in the main event, I think you set up for a huge main event. You say John Cena hasn't lost a singles match in a year. Now he's putting the title on the line against the streak of The Undertaker.
So that means the Rumble winner? Then what do you do about the Rumble in the Chamber? Does Taker win?
Oh, you can have Taker win the Rumble.
It'd be kind of neat.
Or he comes back in the Chamber maybe and wins.
Hmm.
Or you don't have the Chamber for the number one contender shot. Maybe you just have Taker come back and Cena challenges him. And you just do the Chamber for something else. Maybe Cena's in the Chamber, has to defend the title.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true. It doesn't have to be number one contender. Usually isn't.
I just think if you're setting up a big money match for 30, to me that's... You're going to keep Cena super strong for that. And then you have Taker win the title and maybe he loses to someone that you want to put over.
And this is where Cena needs to finally get out like the Shawn 97 chops. If he has any. Enough with the... Wow, this is a hot crowd tonight. Woo-hoo! And it's all, shut the fuck up. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm tired of that. I think he needs to finally, like, you know, if it's Taker, he's got to be a, you know, I've had it with all of you, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I've had it for a year. You know, even he starts, I don't know if he starts his best in the world, he doesn't steal that from Punk, but, well, you know, there's the whole Punk winning something and getting the title back, but we'll talk about Punk in a minute because... Yeah. The
maybe
new story came
else
out.
In store. It, so, well, yeah. You know, let's just talk about it now. Whatever.
Okay. The first, this is courtesy of a couple of sources, but we'll get it right from our friends at WrestleChat.net. Stone Cold Steve Austin recently appeared on Busted Open, and he talked about Tough Enough, talked about the direction of the company and some other stuff about Triple H. This was his quote when he was asked, could we possibly see him at WrestleMania 30? Oh, I'm, quote, I want to do the Mitch playing basketball voice, but I won't. Oh, I'm healthy enough. My knee's
fucking
coming
midget.
Around just fine.
It's better than it's ever been.
Because I've been doing my due diligence on my rehab. I've got two new ligaments. Everything else is pain-free. I'm still in shape. I've been working out harder than I've ever worked out. We've seen him, JR. He's been fucking ripped.
Yep.
But there's the deal. When you're going to try to commit to do a WrestleMania 30, you're really looking at least a 2 to 3 month commitment, if not four. So you know what you're talking. You know you're talking about taking everything else off the table. I could still do my podcast. I'm going to take care of blah, 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 Stone Cold Steve, and blah, blah, blah. So pretty much he's saying, yeah, I could. So that opens the door. Two questions later, he asks about, would Punk versus Austin be a great all-time match? He says it definitely could.
They got to do it.
So is that what we see in New Orleans?
I think if you do Taker Cena and Punk Austin.
Holy shit.
And Rock Brock.
Wow.
You're talking about a pretty loaded card.
That's fucking huge. Do we even need the stupid McMahon crap if that's the top? That's
yeah,
the top
well, they're
going to
do
matches.
It. But that makes it more palatable if it's lower down the card. So those are three big matches.
Do you take the belt? Well, here's the thing. How about this? Oh, no, because he's got to be pinned. I think Rock Brock needs to have the belt involved. Who cares otherwise?
You think so?
How do you involve Rock with
him? You could just have Brock beat the shit out of the Rock and, or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd rather have one title match be involving guys that have been out all year and deserve it. Especially if Cena takers for the title. I think you want to do something maybe where Brian wins it or Chris. Anyone. You know what I mean? Anyone. In the mix instead of just putting in a Rock Brock again, just like we already had the Rock title thing from last year. I think that sells itself. I don't think you need to put the title on the line there. I think this year that could have worked, but.
And those that complain about Daniel Bryan, who's to say he doesn't win the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania?
Yeah, they'll find something good for him.
Yeah,
I'm not concerned about Daniel Bryan anymore.
No,
as
I'm
far
not
as like the handling of him, I think the hand wringing days with him are over. It's clear that they think highly of him.
Like
they had him killed. They had him beat Sheamus clean, which is humongous. Yeah. But he's on every show, right?
And the Daniel Bryan fans are taking the Vince comments way too seriously. It's part of the show, you morons.
I don't know.
Oh my God, Vince, he's never going to win now. Vince says he's too smart. It's part of the show.
I'm
sure that's not what he truly thinks.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. That doesn't really worry me anymore. I think it's.
Yeah, I don't. I think
he's gotten to be pretty bulletproof.
Yeah, I think so too. Wow, what a loaded top of the car that is, though, huh?
Yeah, we'll see if we get there. It depends if. I mean, I don't see how Austin can't be involved. I mean, how do you not?
How about do we even bother having Rock at this point?
I'd be fine without him, but
me
I think they want to do him at Brock. I think that's pretty much.
Maybe he challenges Brock. Maybe Brock doesn't even take the initiative. Maybe Rock says,
"Yeah,
I never got mine back from you, kid."
Yeah. They'll find some
Slammo too. Yeah. We'll talk more about that, though, as time progresses. We'll really get that whole, get the whole WrestleMania scoop. We got plenty of time to talk about it. Do you want to go through some other notes?
Yeah, let's go through some notes and then we'll get to
it. Okay, here's the second one. Here's another story, again, from our good friends at WrestleChat.net. The Wyatt family will be working a six-man tag match at this year's SummerSlam, most likely against Kane and two partners to be determined.
Hmm.
We noted, or this is the courtesy Figure 4 Online, WWE wanted to do Shield versus Kane and Taker at SummerSlam, but word now is that Taker re-injured himself in that last Raw beatdown from the Shield. But they put him through the announce table. Taker could be out of action until the Superdome in New Orleans. Regarding Rollins and Reigns defending at SummerSlam, it could be against a team of Orton and Sheamus or Cesaro and Swagger. We noted before, or Figure 4 Online did, that Dean Ambrose will likely defend the U.S. title at SummerSlam against Christian. They had a good match on, or they've had good interaction in their tag matches. So I think
that's what Christian should be used for, so I think that's fine.
Yep. I know a couple people are complaining, why does Christian have to be enhancement? You can't have everybody you want have everything at the same time.
No,
you
know, but that's what Christian's role should be. My beef was that they weren't using him at all, which made no sense to me. This the upper card veteran that gets wins here and there, but puts the guys over on the big shows is, you know, we use his name a lot, but kind of a modern day Tito Santana. I think that's what he should be at this point. He's can put on great matches and help establish guys and get them over. I think that's the way to go.
Hmm. Oh, we were talking about somebody earlier, and here's an answer to that question. Also, courtesy of Figure 4 Online, Ryback expected to go over Chris Jericho at Money in the Bank, which was Ryback's first pay-per-view win in almost a year.
Unreal. For the push.
And it's likely who would be his new manager? Vicky Guerrero.
Hmm. Well, they teased it with him hugging her.
Yeah.
Before she
left. Which was a cool light. I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie about that.
I'm going back to that Wyatt match. I think I like that. I mean, the Shield one would have been good too, but you can get better, I think, with Ambrose. I think the Wyatt family needs that win. Who would you put with Kane, though? It's interesting. I hate to see Bryan take a step back into that.
At SummerSlam? Yeah. Well, depends if he wins Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't depend if he wins Sunday. The Usos. On a sad note, TMZ, but you heard it here first, actually.
Yes.
On the Place to Be podcast via Mr. Members Only himself, the great walking GPS, Mr. Armento.
I don't know what to think with that guy. Breaking news stories all of a sudden.
Yeah.
He already broke the story of Tatanka's real name.
Yeah. It has been reported that Randy Orton has gotten divorced from his wife, Samantha. The reason we're mentioning this is because when Armento went to the the convention up in Mass about a month ago. He was talking to Cowboy Bob Orton, who his friend was working at his memorabilia table, and he mentioned that his son was getting divorced. They were married back in 2007, but separated in 2012. A divorce order was just signed last month. Samantha filed for divorce back in March of this year, claiming their marriage was irretrievably broken. Both Orton and Samantha came to a separation agreement. According to documents, Orton gets to keep his Range Rover, his 2011 Bentley, and his 2009 Harley.
Oh, is that it?
That's it. Samantha gets to keep her Infinity. They have several six-figure bank accounts.
Sure they do.
And his gun and jewelry collection, plus one of the houses.
You think that was the gun that Anna Benson used to bust down at Chris Benson's
yes,
house?
Yeah, exactly. Psycho.
Have you heard? Did you hear that 911 call?
I didn't hear the call.
Oh my lord! It was the worst 911 operator like ever. It was just like she kept asking like these millions of questions, and he's like, "I'm hiding in my basement. She has a bulletproof vest on. This fucking bitch went over there with a handgun that is loaded with shotgun bullets, a fucking bulletproof vest, a billy club, and a knife."
Billy Club?
And asked for 30 grand.
Oh, my God.
Like, does Chris Benson just have 30 grand in a safe somewhere?
Jesus.
She's fucking nuts.
I will never forget the picture on Mets.com when he was pitching for the Mets, and he was at they do the annual Christmas, the kids' Christmas thing, and he was dressed like Santa, and she looked like she looked like freaking Sable. She had a little two-piece thing on, and you're like, okay, this isn't like this isn't the grown-up party. It's like a bunch of nine-year-olds there. Really funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, marry a stripper, I guess.
Well, that's what happens, exactly. All right, in any event, Orton's
like the alternate reality of Matt Rotella's life.
Yes.
The Bensons.
Of course, her favorite quote ever was, if she ever found out that Chris Benson cheated on her, she was going to get back at him by nailing the entire Mets organization. Imagine, hey, Fred Wilpon, come here.
Who's next? Omar Minaya? Come on.
Who am I fucking next? Anna. All right. Okay, Orton also keeps 100% of his rights, title, and interest in his contract. He brings home a month, $291,666, which means, if you do the math, he makes just about $3.5 million a year.
Not bad.
So maybe he shouldn't give a shit about what his future fucking...
That's what I said. You think he's going to TNA? He's making $3 million in the fucking bank
a shit if he ever, yeah, exactly. Who cares if he never wins a belt again?
You're fucking crazy. You think he's going
Samantha's
to TNA.
Bank account, yeah. Samantha's bank account's over $650,000. One house and her jewelry collection, which includes her $99,000 engagement ring and wedding ring.
So that'll be on eBay shortly.
Yeah, exactly. Samantha will receive sole legal and physical custody of their daughter, but Orton will get visitation rights. A lot of people think that's not because he's a bad father. It's because guy's on the road 300 days a year. Orton has agreed to pay $4,500 a month in child support.
Now, Samantha's maiden name is Gray, correct?
Yes, it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she went to war!
Sad story. I mean, it is sad, but
I think it's another example of I think it's another example of the wrestling business.
Yeah,
you know, so it's a shame.
Well, good thing Anthony was there to break the story.
Yep. Continuing, I guess Batista was never married, so I guess Triple H is the only member of Evolution with a solid marriage.
Well, Batista just breaks up relationships.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. Anything like not Justin Gabriel dating one of the Divas? Oh God! Does anybody care about that show?
Well,
that Total Divas.
Jen Angle may have to.
I knew you were going
to
say
to review it on.
We love
Jen.com.
Do we really want to put her through that?
Yes, we do.
Okay, there we go. There you go, Jen.
We'll be reviewing it now. Speaking of great reviews of wrestling-based TV shows, Wife Swap aired last weekend with Roddy Piper, Ric Flair, and Josh Richter has written a fucking dissertation on this thing. Analyzing reality TV in the scope of this show. It is a good read. It'll be up Friday on PlaySimulation.com. Good stuff from Mr. Richard, as always. So be looking forward to that. So, Scott, one of the news stories I want to talk about was, of course, the sad story, in my eyes, of Tammy Sonny Sitch.
Yep.
He's going to be at a convention.
Mm-hmm. It's this October. It's the Legends of the Ring, the one that I always go to.
Okay. Well, the one that Scott will be at in Monroe, New Jersey.
Yep.
Sonny is offering pictures opportunities where you can spend a amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, what, $80 or something?
It's $50. It's $50. You get a picture.
Well, there's going to be a bed there.
There's a bed there. Okay. It's $50 and you just lie next to her. For an extra $25, you get a choice of either A, spooning with her, Or B, you lie on your back and she lies on your chest. For $100, no, I'm just kidding.
She went off on Facebook today too.
Yeah, no, it was
people saying she's fucking,
she's a whore.
Yeah,
pretty much
doing prostitution.
Yesterday it was actually yesterday on Facebook. She went ape shit.
I mean, who would honestly pay for this?
Do you really want to know the answer to that?
I mean, I was the biggest Sunny fan in the world.
Join the club. You okay. And I, if this was 19, hell, if this was 2002, I'd have been the first in line.
Yeah, but it's beyond what she looks like or how old she is. You're paying money. You go down to the fucking Club Fantasies and do a lot more for $75 and get your picture laying on a bed with Sonny.
See Rotella, comma, Matt?
You know, it's like, really? Her head on your chest? I don't know. The only guy so excited about this is LaRue, so I should tell you exactly what the fuck.
You know what? If somebody paid for it, I'd do it. I ain't paid out of my own money, but.
We already paid for you to meet Jim Duggan. Is that enough fantasy for one lifetime?
Fuckers.
Do you think, how much did Armento pay to sample some of Bob Orton's hepatitis blood?
His jacket, damn it.
His fucking set up a transfusion plant, yeah. Right at the fucking table.
Yes.
Oh, I'll give you $75 for some of your hepatitis. Don't get out of my jacket.
What's sad is, I hate to say this. No, I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
Well, we all know.
Say it.
We were there, JR. We were at the con. We've been at cons. I think we all know what the average wrestling fan looks like. So if you want to do it, be the first in line. Don't be the 38th in line.
Oh, man.
He's trying to get her Hall of Fame revoked.
Yeah. Yeah, if the crew is anything like that, was at WrestleCon, WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
If she's got some Clorox wipes with her.
Yeah. How's and she said she's going to wear... She said she's not going to lie there with, like, you know, jeans and a t-shirt on. She's wearing lingerie.
You think she's going to have a pool of fucking Purell next to the bed?
She better.
Just dunk herself in it after every meeting.
LaRue juice.
You picture
a guy what if a guy, like, tries to... I don't know. What
well, if he gets I'm sure there'll be security right there.
Oh, there better be.
It's like she's going to be in some back room.
Jim Dotson.
That's later.
That's for an extra $100.
What do you do if you're laying in bed, you're Sunny with this lingerie on? Mm-hmm. You look to the next man in line, and fucking Rotella's all fucking hunchback walking over to you with his fucking stupid sandals on and his jorts
and his dark socks.
You know, what do you do? I mean, how do you live with yourself?
You think to yourself, "Oh, this fucker's gonna pay $150 and lie here twice as long." Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I guess he's perfectly formed for spooning, right? He's already in the
it's
position.
True. He's spooned standing up.
He's already in the position. He's good to go.
Oh, man. Sweet Christ. It's sad, Joe, JR, because let's be honest. In a small, tiny part of our mind, if this was like 1998.
Well, if I was 17, maybe, yeah. If I was 17 and she looked like she did in 97, yeah, of course. But, I mean, if you're like 45 and you're going now to do this, I don't know, man. James Grunberg's one thing. If he's up there fucking yelling, jumping on the bed with her, I'm good with that.
Imagine if he's spooning her and he goes, "Guess what?" And she goes, "What?" "I went to WrestleMania."
He's like, "Guess what, Sonny? What's that, James?" "It's only Saturday."
I love that fucking guy. He's awesome. Shout out to Grunberg.
Well, that's the story of Sonny.
Oh, my God.
Pretty sad.
That's for sure.
So you're going to go? Are you going this year to this thing?
Oh, I'll go to the con anyway.
Oh, you need to scout that out then. We need a live PTB report from the bedside.
Yeah, I'll scout that out. Yeah, no, I'll definitely go.
Try and get a media pass so you can get right in there.
Oh, my God. It'll probably be, I'm sure it'll be in a separate fucking room.
Maybe you could buy a few more DVDs from Joe Dombrowski.
Oh, God. Do you have a theory? I have a theory. It's really not her.
I just quickly jumped to TNA. Matt Morgan released.
Yes.
Of course. I don't know. Does it have anything to do with the pay issues? Or?
No, he asked for his release like a month ago. He just hasn't been on. I'll be honest with you. I've been watching since January, and he's been on, I don't know, three times. And
you think he ends up with WWE?
No. Nah. I don't think they think I don't think they think much of him, to be honest with you.
I could see them maybe give him a shot.
Mm.
He actually wouldn't be a bad fit if you go back to the kind of dumbness of him, and maybe one of the Wyatts grows beard out. Kind of be like a
Maybe.
Crazy guy.
Maybe.
I didn't like these rumors, by the way, that Daniel... You see that batting around? Daniel Bryan joining the Wyatts?
Why? Just because of the beard? Oh, fuck.
Well, no,
no,
and because of the cane. I think I say...
No.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope
no, I hope
Morgan, man, I could see him go to Ring of Honor, maybe.
They Ring of Honor, I can guys. See. Because yeah. they could use some... They can use some bodies. Speaking of... There was a house show in Delaware over the weekend.
Ring of Honor?
No, a WWE house show. Guess who was spotted in the crowd?
Yes, Rhett Titus. Oh, he was at Raw. Is that who you were talking about?
No.
Oh.
The Briscoes.
They were the crowd at the house show?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'll say this. Kevin has not stared us wrong yet when he's on this show. He was right about Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Something else, too. Didn't he tell us about something else? Said it was right. Not leaving or leaving.
Hmm.
I mean, he didn't say they were staying for sure. Well, he didn't say they were leaving.
Here we go. For here we go. This is from WrestleChat.net. Former Ring of Honor wrestlers and multi-time champions Jay and Mark Briscoe were spotted at ringside at tonight's WWE house show event in Ocean City, Maryland. Ring of Honor recently decided not to renew their contracts with the company, stemming from some controversial Twitter comments from Jay. This is from WrestleChat, so I just want to preface that. PW Insider reports they've not signed a WWE deal yet. Apparently, they've taken their kids to WWE events in the past, but because they've been rumored to be WWE bound and sat in the front row, it's caused a lot of speculation. It sounds like Justin Gabriel left them the tickets. And then there's a picture of them. So, think they would join the Wyatts?
That's what I was going to say. I could see that.
Hmm. Because I've heard these two guys, I have to start remembering their names. You know, the sheep mask guy and the dude with the beard. I'm gonna have to get one. What's his name? Murphy. What's the other guy's name? Shit. I'm gonna have to remember their names. But the other two guys, one of them is an average wrestler. The other one, the guy with the sheep mask apparently is very good.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the dark beard is. So they may need a little work rate in this faction.
Well, the Briscoes would fit. The only problem I have with that is, do you bring them in as the Briscoes and the Wyatts win them over, or are you going to try and lie and say that they're Wyatts?
No, you got to have them come in as the Briscoes. We're not Vince can't pull that 1987. He's not Harley Race crap anymore.
Right. Well, not with. I mean, you can be with some guys. Like Adam Cole comes in. All right, you can probably get away with changing them up.
Yeah. Even Bennett or whatever, if he ever comes.
The
in.
Briscoes, though, that'd be a tough one.
Yeah.
Now, you think you're getting a chance with Husky Harris? Forget it.
Yeah.
One thing on Ring of Honor kind of been bothering me lately. I kind of let loose in my review this past week.
Mm-hmm.
I hate how they rely so much. And I know that's a lot of the business is based on the internet and stuff like that, Twitter. They really rely on that. Like, they just jump into stuff on the TV, assuming you've read all this stuff. And that annoys me. I'm cool with them using the web and using these outlets, but they should refresh you when the TV starts. Don't just start talking about, like, I had no idea there was this tournament coming. I mean, I knew because I've heard about it online, but if you watch the shows, I knew no details about it. Mm. And all of a sudden, we come into the show, and Kevin's talking about the tournament and guys already involved and this and that, and this 8-man steel cage match is coming up in a few weeks. I had no clue about any of this shit. It drives me nuts that they think everyone watches, and a majority probably do read the Newswire and follow on Twitter and all that stuff, but it's just tough. It's hard. It makes it hard for new people to get into the program when they don't fill you in on stuff until, like, sometimes they get to it halfway through the show, and it's like, I have no idea what these guys are talking about.
Mm.
It's a pet peeve of mine.
It's almost to the same thing as WWE with the app, you know? Maybe not too... too
no,
not
but that, they don't have that. Shit starting on the app. WWE, you know everything that's fucking happening. You think there'd be an 8-man cage match coming 4 weeks from now that we would know nothing about, and they would just start talking about it randomly like everyone knew?
True.
No. I know Ring of Honor has limited time, but at least explain it. You know? Take a few minutes and explain it.
All right.
That is minor pet peeve. Now, on the positive side, they signed Adam Page today, which I liked. Mm. He's the one that had that awesome match with Silas Young on Ring of Honor TV last week. They just beat the shit out of each other for like 8 minutes. The best part was a superplex off the guardrail to the floor.
Wow.
Which was great. Wow. I'm hoping they sign Silas, too. And it sounded like they're going to, based on what Kevin was saying. So let's quickly talk here as well. Of course, that tournament kicks off in Providence at the TV taping. I'll be at July 27th. We got Brad coming up for that. And Mark Poirier coming down from Hamilton.
Nice.
So we're going to be going to that show. Already got the tickets ordered.
Good.
Here are the 11 men announced so far for the tournament. Because, of course, Jay Briscoe's been stripped of the belt because he's too hurt to compete. Michael Elgin, Brian Kendrick, Machine Gun Anderson returns, Kevin Steen, Paul London back, Roderick Strong, Adam Cole, BJ Whitmer, Sonjay Dutt, Tommaso Ciampa, and Jay Lethal. Those are your 11 names announced so far.
How big is the tournament supposed to be?
16, I believe.
Okay.
So that kicks off the night we're there. So we're probably going to see, I'm guessing, the whole first round that night across
that'd
the four
cool.
weeks of taping. I'm guessing that'd be eight
Has
matches.
My apologies. It's been tough not having it on TV. It's tough to keep track. Has Elgin used his title shot yet from when he won it? No?
Nope. So that's coming to some
point. Find that odd?
No, they're obviously building to a big pay-per-view match. Okay. So I'm guessing if he does
so you don't think he's going to win the tournament?
I'm guessing not, if he's got that in his back pocket. I don't know
what I was
going
to say. That's who my pick would be.
I wouldn't be shocked if Cole wins and goes with Scum, if they finally have him join. That wouldn't surprise me.
What about Steen?
No, I don't think they put it back on Steen. Steen was inserted to the big cage match, though. That's already been taped. I haven't read any spoilers yet. That airs the final. That actually is going to air on the night of TV that I'm in Providence, that they're recording on that 27th. It's a big steel cage 4-4. So Steen's going to take Mark Briscoe's spot because Briscoe obviously can't compete. So that should be pretty interesting as well.
Looking forward to seeing how far the tournament goes if I'll get any of the matches.
Well, because I'm guessing the
August
final.
17th.
Yeah, I think you will. I'm guessing the final. Oh, right here. Here we go. Tournament set to begin July 27th. The Providence continues in Toronto on August 3rd, New York City August 17th, and culminating at Death Before Dishonor 11 in Philly. So
maybe we'll get the semis.
Maybe they split the semis. I don't know. Well, so it'll be interesting how they do it.
Yeah, so, looking forward to that. I mean, me, Dr. G, friend Mike. I think Reckless will be coming too. Yeah, it'll be a good time. I'll talk to Kevin. I'm looking forward to that. At least something, something set up, and that'll be cool. TNA otherwise has been pretty much. That's what I'm thinking of. Status quo.
Yeah.
Next Thursday is their Destination X Impact, and that is where Chris Sabin will go after Bully Ray. He's cashing in the X Division title and will face Bully Ray for the world title next Thursday night.
A lot of the pay issues. That came out right after we gushed about
their
business.
Yeah, I got a little leery about that too, yeah.
The half year thing. We talked about how we thought, they'll be around. Everyone keeps talking like they're going to die. They're still around. And then, 2 days later, that leaks out that the panda checks started bouncing.
Mm. No, they were late.
Late. That's what it was.
No checks have bounced, but they got paid like a week and a half late, which is almost the same as bouncing, I guess. It's like avoiding bouncing.
Well, we'll see. They've made it this far.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
In 5 years, does Vince buy him?
Graham mentioned this too, and I know about the tape library. I don't see the point in buying them. Just wait them out. They're never going to pass him. They may last and be successful on their own right. I cannot envision a scenario where TNA passes WWE at this point. Maybe creatively.
But not.
And you can argue they have recently in times. You can say that the product is maybe more entertaining at times. No way, business-wise, do they pass what WWE's doing.
Well, the two main guys, like the two cornerstone guys, in fact, the two guys in their Hall of Fame, pretty much have made open overtures that they'd like to end their careers in WWE. I mean, I think the Sting rumors are legit. And Kurt has said he wants to.
Oh, he'll be.
He wants to go back at some point.
What do you do now? Do they not do Cena Taker if Sting comes in? Do you do Sting Taker, or do you Sting to put over a younger guy?
You got to do Sting Taker. How do you not? Then you keep him around to put over younger guys. Mm. You got to do
Sting. So you hold off Cena Taker?
Yeah.
I feel like you've been waiting until 30 to do that,
Sting Steve?
No, I think you put Sting. I think you put someone over Sting. Or you at least. I do like Sting Jericho. If you want Sting to win, maybe give him a guy like Jericho. If you want to put someone over, maybe that's who Brian fights, someone like that. Mm-hmm. I think Taker Cena is a bigger money match than Taker Sting.
You're right.
I think Taker Sting is cool for the longtime fans. It's kind of a mark out match.
Mm.
You could probably do it at SummerSlam. may carry that buy rate. I think you've waited this long. You got to do Taker Cena Mania. I think you have to do it here at 30. And they haven't
so Sting comes
forever.
In. Yeah.
When, 10 years?
Well, since. Well, I mean, the only singles match of note is Vengeance 03. I think they wrestled once on Raw. And I think the last time they were in a match together was that, remember that six-man tag on that Raw at the Garden when Taker tombstoned him at the end?
Yeah.
I think that might be the last time they were in the ring together. And that was, what, 2008?
Yeah, because 07, they had the tag match. Him and, it was Cena.
Oh, at No Way Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't think it's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time since they fought. So, I mean, that's a very fresh matchup to a lot of fans. That's more of a money match to me than Sting Taker. Mm. I think Sting Taker would be awesome. Like, I would rather see that. I'd rather see Sting maybe fight someone younger, help use his name, and then maybe you go into SummerSlam and do Sting Taker there next year.
Sting Punk?
No, you're going to do Punk Steve.
Okay. But that would be plan B. If there is no Steve.
Yeah, I think Steve will be there.
I think so, too.
I think
we'll
get it happen.
Oh, we got a long way to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, third there. WrestleMania on the show. No, fourth.
Fourth WrestleMania. Yeah, our first one was 27 in Atlanta.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Atlanta and speaking of that, I need to pimp this because we have a great piece that have we released it yet? Was it today or tomorrow? The five count.
That is coming tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow. Stay tuned tomorrow on placetobenation.com. We have a fantastic five count.
Yep.
From our man Ben Morse. Top five Money in the Bank winners.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's fantastic.
Is well done. So you contributed to that. Callum Leslie, Michael Waldrop,
Steve Rogers.
Yeah. So that was really done. Also, shout out today, Andrew Reich did a piece on Money in the Bank, the pay-per-view in general, and how WWE is kind of cashing in on Money in the Bank becoming one of their top pay-per-view events of the year. So a lot of Money in the Bank theme stuff. Of course, that's we got our preview here tonight. We have Reich's piece, five count, and then Sunday night, I will be live blogging for you during the pay-per-view. So make sure you visit placetobenation.com during the show. I'll have my thoughts up after each match. As soon as it ends, my thoughts will be up. So quickest review on the net at placetobenation.com.
Absolutely. Yes.
I'll also, we did it. We did it for Payback. We'll do it again for Money in the Bank. We did the Tweet of the Night contest. So anyone who tweets at us, my favorite tweet will get into the article. We'll call it the Tweet of the Night. Scott, before we get to the Money in the Bank preview, big DVD announcement. Three matches revealed for your favorite, your boy.
Yes.
Thy Kingdom Come DVD. Right. September 24th on Blu-ray and standard DVD, of course, is the Triple H documentary. A lengthy documentary on his career, his life outside the ring with Scott Criscolla and Norwalk.
That's right.
Exclusive interview footage in at least 12 matches. Our first three have been announced. The Rock versus Triple H, Judgment Day 2000, Iron Man.
That's awesome. You and I have been wanting that on a DVD for in high good quality for a while.
Yep.
It's good somebody finally put it on there.
And it won't be blurred, because that's done.
Nope. Yep.
RVD versus Triple H, June 30th. No, they have 2000, which cannot be correct.
No, I'm actually on WrestlingDVDNews.com, and it's 2003.
Okay, 2003.
Yeah.
And then King Booker versus Triple H from SummerSlam 07.
Yep.
That'll be our official Kingdom Come DVD release music whenever we talk about matches.
Also, JR, while we have a moment, also fully released. I want your opinion on this because I was...
Val Venus, fully released.
is that what the name is going to be? fully engulfed, what?
Fully released.
The match list is out for... let's see. I thought it was on here. The full match listing for the Madison Square Garden DVD.
Okay.
Is out.
You want to do this LaRue style? You're going to read the whole thing?
I'm going to fire it off quickly. Okay. No stalling like
quickly.
We usually.
Go.
Quickly. Okay. Well, I got to open up the thing first.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Okay, here we go. So let me get this straight. You push this button. Okay. All right. Disc one. right? And of course, there's pieces in the middle, but I won't read those. Okay. WWE Championship, Ivan Koloff versus Pedro Morales, February 8th, 1971. WWE Championship match, Superstar Billy Graham versus Bruno Sammartino, June 27th, 1977. Texas Death Match for the WWE Championship, Bob Backlund versus Ken Patera, May 19th, 1980. Match for the Undisputed Heavyweight Wrestling Championship, WWE Champion Bob Backlund versus NWA Champion Harley Race, September 22nd, 1980. WWE Championship match, Iron Sheik versus Hulk Hogan, January 23rd, 1984. Boot Camp match, Sergeant Slaughter versus Iron Sheik, June 16th, 1984. Disc 2. Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Rowdy Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff, WrestleMania 1. How about this match? Andre the Giant and Paul Orndorff versus Roddy Piper and Bob Orton, August 10th, 1985. Honky Tonk Man versus Ultimate Warrior, SummerSlam, August 29th, 1988, Intercontinental title. Intercontinental Championship, Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect, SummerSlam, 91. Ladder match for the Intercontinental title, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon, WrestleMania 10. WWE Championship, Bob Backlund versus Diesel, November 26, 1994. Disc 3, Survivor Series Elimination Match, Rocky Maivia, Mero, Stalker, Jake versus Hunter, Crush, Goldust, Lawler, Survivor Series 96. Stone Cold Stuns the Boss, Raw, September 22, 97. Falls Count Anywhere Match, Hunter versus Helmsley versus Cactus Jack, Raw, September 22, 97. A match you and I just talked about the other night. Tag Team Tables Match, Dudley's versus Hardy's, Rumble 2000. Number One Contender Triple Threat Match, Triple H, Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, Raw, August 7th, 2000. Booker T attacks Mr. McMahon, Raw, June 25th, 2001. Triple H returns, Raw, January 7th, 2002. U.S. Championship Match, Big Show versus John Cena, WrestleMania 20. Trish Stratus versus Mickie James, Raw, September 11th, 2006. John Cena returns to the Royal Rumble, 2008. And Triple Threat Tag Match, DX versus Jericho versus Cena and Taker, Raw, November 16th, 2009. That, I think that was the one where Taker tombstoned him.
Okay.
Blu-ray sense. Exclusives. Steel Cage Match, Bruno and Tito versus Savage and Adonis, July 12th, 1986.
Wow, that's cool.
IC Title Match, Bret Hart versus Ted DiBiase, December 29th, 1991. And Alberto Del Rio versus CM Punk for the WWE title, Survivor Series 2011, and extra interview pieces.
Cool. All right. Sounds like a good release.
So that's the MSG, and that comes out 27th? Yeah, August 27th.
Cool. All right, Scott, let's get to Money in the Bank. Let's preview that. All right, so on our kickoff match on YouTube, we see Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns defend the tag team title against Jimmy and Jay, the Usos. I will take, I like the Shield here to retain.
Yeah, I think so, too. If you're
going to push for the Usos, though.
Yeah, no, I've enjoyed it too, but it's not time to take the belts off the Shield. Yeah, I like them.
No, definitely not. All right, Chris Jericho versus Ryback. Scott, I echo your remarks and the news bit we heard. I think Ryback wins this. He needs to win bad. Jericho really doesn't need to.
It'd
be interesting to see if Vicky shows up already with Ryback. I'm guessing they will because they want to keep it fresh in your mind about the hug and all that.
Yeah, I agree. So, I think Ryback wins. Yep.
Okay. Divas title on the line is AJ Lee defends against Caitlyn. This is a tough one because you feel like the proper payoff is for Caitlyn to get her win back and get her heat back. I don't know if they're ready to take the title off AJ already. I think they extend this another month. I think AJ sneaky retains here.
I agree. I gotta, you know, it's been the best Diva storyline in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
But and I've enjoyed it. And I like Caitlyn. I really do. I feel bad she's not getting as much of a rub as she should, but I think AJ wins by nefarious means or gets counted out or something, and then they'll have a bigger match at SummerSlam, and I think Caitlyn wins it back there. So I like AJ here, but it'll be cheap.
All right, Miz versus Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental Championship. I think Axel retains.
God, I hope so.
I think they're really pushing him. They seem to be sticking with him, and he's really focused a lot on the belt. I don't think Miz wins it here.
No, I'm done. I've had it. Just turn him heel again.
Yeah.
How many?
Axel needs a clean win. No Heyman, no nothing else. He needs to just beat him clean.
Yeah.
With his finisher.
I cannot stand listening to him on commentary. He's on tonight on Main Event. Thank God I don't do that anymore. I can't listen to him. It's just he's unlistenable now. He's definitely surpassed Sheamus for me as one of the most annoying people in this whole company. He really has. I like Curtis Axel.
All right. We move to the SmackDown World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank ladder match. We have Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow. Jack Swagger, Antonio Cesaro, Fandango, and Dean Ambrose. Who do you like here, Scott?
I like Wade Barrett. I think he's the next one in progression. I didn't like what they did to Fandango on Monday. I think he was getting kind of a little cute face cheer there, and then they fucking buried him with the punch. I hate it. I didn't like that. But notice that this Money in the Bank has all heels,
yes.
Whereas the other Money in the Bank, which we'll discuss in a moment, has all faces. Well, at the moment, who knows who the seventh guy is. I like Wade Barrett. I think he's the next one in line. Ambrose is not ready yet, and that's fine. The rest of these guys are fodder. So
I want to say Cesaro for some reason. The way they're
really
well, I'm not going to pick them, but I wouldn't be surprised. The way all of a sudden they're kind of hyper driving them with Zeb and everything, and seems like he has a little newfound purpose. Usually they capitalize on that kind of thing.
He actually wrestled Dolph on main event tonight. Yeah. So
I'm going to go with Ambrose.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're
wow.
all in on the Shield. I think he wins
wow.
and holds on to it for a little bit. I could see that being part of their gimmick, him with the briefcase.
Wow.
Part of their takeover.
That's kind of that's a bit of an upset pick.
Yeah. I just don't see Barrett. I don't know. They haven't really done much with him.
Maybe that's why. They always do that. They never do anything with anybody before they win something big.
That's true. I'd say I'm going to go with Ambrose. To me, Cesaro and Barrett are the next two, likely.
Okay. I like Barrett. I don't think Ambrose is – I don't think they're slated for the Shield to have something that heavy yet.
Mm.
I think my second guy would be Swagger.
Okay. Ugh, I hope not.
I know, but – you know.
All right, let's move to
or
Raw.
Cody.
Yep.
Cody.
Nah, maybe.
Because he might be. He seems like he's being slated towards a possible face turn. You know, Sandow starts answering his questions for him lately, and that kind of thing.
Maybe.
So I'll put him as my number two behind Barrett, Cody Rhodes.
All right, let's go to Raw for the Money in the Bank All Stars match. We have CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Christian, Sheamus, maybe Kane. We don't know yet for sure. And the returning Rob Van Dam in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you like here?
Well, I go with Daniel Bryan. I don't know. I know it's not right, but we're always a mark for quick hits.
Mm.
I would love to see RVD win it, but why bother?
Nah, I don't see it happening.
I think it's just for a good cheap Philly pop.
Yeah.
I will say this. I think CM Punk will have his fingernail on it and Brock Lesnar comes out.
Yeah. Makes sense. I think you're right.
Set up
Brock,
the SummerSlam match.
I think Brock costs him.
Yeah. Bryan, my number one. As much as I gnash my teeth, I think Sheamus would be number two.
I don't think Sheamus wins it. Well, I think Bryan gives you the most flexibility.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because he can go heel, face, and challenge any time. And I do think they're going to set up him and Cena at some point for the title, maybe in the fall. So I'll go Bryan here as well. He's
okay.
Getting the biggest push right now outside of Punk of all these guys. So
yeah, he is.
Orton would be very tepid if he wins. There's no way in hell Christian's winning.
No.
If Kane's in the match, he ain't winning.
No.
I don't see RVD winning unless they want to go for some shock. I think it really comes out to Punk or Bryan, maybe Sheamus. But
the only way I see a shocker is if Ryback is the seventh guy. And he cashes at SummerSlam. Because there's rumors they want to do a triple threat at SummerSlam with him, Henry, and Ryback.
Well, that's a shitty cash-in.
Cena, Henry. Yeah, that's a shitty cash-in.
I'll go with Bryan.
By the way, you didn't answer. If there is a seventh guy, surprise guy, who would it be?
I guess Bray Wyatt. I mean, that's all the rumors. I hope not.
How about Brock?
He is an all-star.
He's a former champion.
Heyman lobbies to get him in the match.
And he wins the briefcase?
No, I don't think he'll win the briefcase. I think him and Punk would, like, wipe each other out.
Hmm.
I think Brock would be my favorite bet. I don't want to see Bray, because I don't think it's time.
No.
And Ryback is fine, but whatever. I think Brock would be cool. All right, let's get to the two title matches. We have Alberto Del Rio defending against Dolph Ziggler. I think Dolph wins, but he doesn't win the title.
Me too. I agree. I agree, too.
I think we get a DQ or a count out or something.
Yeah, I think Del Rio escapes with the belt.
Yeah, I think they're going to keep this burbling.
If he doesn't keep the belt, he's useless.
Yeah. No, I think they're resetting this whole heel run and everything else, so I think he hangs on to it, but I don't think Dolph can afford a loss, though. So, I mean, Del Rio may win, but that may be it's going to be a DQ either way, I think. Or a ref stoppage or something weird like that.
Okay.
I don't see it.
So the belt doesn't switch, regardless.
Yeah, I think Del Rio leaves with the belt.
Okay.
And John Cena versus Mark Henry. I know everyone and their mother wants to see Mark Henry win. I think it'd be great. There's stories out there that Mark Henry may win and then lose to the Money in the Bank winner right that night. You know, Daniel Bryan's done it before. I think Cena's going to keep strong till Mania. I do.
I agree.
I don't think he drops the title here.
Okay.
And Henry's gotten over on him pretty much every week on Raw, too. So.
Yeah, I think Cena wins. I don't know. I'm still – I need a few more – like maybe a couple more months to warm up to your hold the belt till Mania theory. But I do think he wins here and stays strong at least through the summer. We'll see in the fall. If by like October he still has it, then I think your theory definitely carries a lot of water. Right now,
well, I think he will have it. I mean, the only guy he could maybe lose to is Brian if they do that thing in the fall.
No, what I'm saying is if he has it right, if he has it in the fall,
I'm telling you, I think he will because I don't know who the hell he'd lose to.
Oh, well, he could lose to Brian.
Yeah, maybe
they could pull the trigger on that. I don't know, but we'll continue about that as we move forward. But okay. I definitely like Cena to win the match.
All right. Well, there's your Money in the Bank preview. As I mentioned before, I will be live blogging. Please join us at PlaceToBeNation.com throughout the night. It automatically refreshes for you. Just hit the refresh button, and it'll be there for you. Scott, quickly, notes on the Bruins and hockey.
Well, made a lot of moves.
Tyler Seguin traded to Dallas.
Yep, for some good pieces.
Louis Anderson.
No, it's Louis Anderson. Hi. No, guy Louis Erickson.
Can you get out of the way? I'm trying to move with the puck.
And a couple of other good pieces. There's been some stuff out about Tyler Seguin.
It is crazy around here with all the Seguin stories breaking.
Apparently he was a big partier.
Well, did you hear the first interview he gave in Dallas? They said, what's it, you excited to be playing on a younger team? And they meant like to go out. He's like, yeah, I was the only single guy on the Bruins, so it'll be good to have other single guys to hang out with. And they meant like a younger team on the ice. So it shows you where his mindset is. But you always worry about trades like this biting you in the ass, you know, if he develops into a superstar. But right now, they obviously had major concerns with his off-the-ice activities. I mean, there were stories that when he was in Chicago for the Stanley Cup, they had, like, armed guards outside his door, so he wouldn't go out.
Yeah.
They said, like, he was out partying late night, those two games in Toronto with the Bruins where he did nothing. He played awful because that's his hometown. So it sounds like a lot of stories where they just kind of got fed up with him. And they were going to have salary crunches anyway, so someone was going to get squeezed at some point. Yeah. And we already saw Nathan Horton left.
Nathan Horton, Horty was going for the payday.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
A lot of Bruins haters are loving this move because they couldn't stand him. But the problem, I love Horty, and he came up with some big goals in 2011 and this year, but he's damaged. I mean, he's got concussion issues.
No, yeah, he got way overpaid.
Shoulder. So he decided, instead of sticking around with the Bruins or signing a shorter deal for maybe less money with a good team, he took a 7-year deal with Columbus, who are okay, but they're not the Bruins.
Right.
So he took the money. I have no problem with him signing Tuukka Rask long term. He had an awesome playoffs.
He is now the highest paid goalie of all time.
That says a lot. But that's how the Bruins play hockey. That's the Claude Julien way.
You don't think they're hamstringing themselves with that big of a deal?
No, I don't think so. No. Hey, Drew McGinley came back crawling to us after...
Where the fuck was he at the trade deadline, asshole?
Yeah, fucking douchebag. And then he realized when we pimp-slapped him for 4 straight games that, you know, he was begging to play for a team that's got some gun-owns. So he is there, too. The team needed a lot of people are like, oh, why are you changing the makeup of the team? Well, it was money issues.
No, they had to.
The two most important guys in that roster are Tuukka and Bergeron.
Yeah. And Chara.
And Chara. But Chara... You saw, for the first time in the tail end of the Pittsburgh series and most of the series with Chicago, you saw his age.
Well, they're not, you know, they're built to win now. Yeah. And I think that's why they made the move with Seguin. They're not waiting around for him to develop. They'll worry about that later. I think they need to win now while Chara is still around.
Yeah, I agree.
Before he breaks down completely and starts to taper off. So I think that's why they made the move for Erickson. Get someone who's a little more seasoned, a little more mature in there. Still very good. And they got youth, too. I mean, you got Dougie Hamilton. He'll be up full-time next year. He looked good in his stint and you know, some of the other guys they had. So, quickly, you want to talk about Matt Harvey before we take a break?
Yeah, of course, Matt Harvey is not pitching Saturday against Pittsburgh. They say it's because he has a blister. Of course, the underlying reason is, you know, Bruce Bochy wants him to start. Or the Mets want Bruce Bochy to start him in next Tuesday night's All-Star game at Citi Field. I'm 50. You know, it's weird. I've never been a big fan of this. I think it's silly. You know, your team matters more winning matters more. But as I've said on this show more than once, JR, the Wilpons are not the brightest bulbs on the Christmas tree. And I'm sure they were like, look, we got a big game next Tuesday. We won our, you know, in a useless game that means jack shit to them.
Right.
But that means more. And that bothers, that is the continuing incompetence of the Mets franchise and just the way their way of thinking. I would much rather have Matt Harvey pitch seven innings of shutout ball and beat the Pirates and not pitch Tuesday than not pitch, lose that game to Pittsburgh, and then maybe Bochy doesn't put him in anyway. The Met fans more wanted David Wright to start at third, and he is. So Matt Harvey not, you know, he'll get it. He would have gotten in anyway, even if he pitched an inning. He would treat it as a between starts bullpen session, in essence. So I think that's silly. Unless he really has a blister. And if he does, fine. But we don't know that or not. There's only two things I want to see happen next Tuesday night. And that's David Wright starting, which he is. And whether it's the bottom of the eighth or the bottom of the ninth, depending who's winning the game, Mariano Rivera needs to be the last American League pitcher. And well, they got to play Inner Sandman for him.
There were rumors that they wanted him to start. But I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think that's going to happen either. I think Scherzer is probably going to start.
You know, the Harvey thing, you know, I had Mets fans coming out and saying, well, he, you know, they're out of it. They're not. I'm like, they're not that far out of it. They're like 9 games out of the wild card, which isn't impossible to come in the second half, and they're playing well lately.
Yeah.
Riding a hot streak. They won again today. I mean, this is a pretty big series for them. You go in there, sweep Pittsburgh this weekend, and, you know, you put yourself in decent shape heading into the All-Star break, and it just seems silly to me to punt regular season games that mean something for the All-Star game. I know it's a big deal. You're in Citi Field, blah, 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 but come on. They get to see Matt Harvey every fucking
And David Wright is starting in.
Yeah, you get to see him every home game too. It's like, what's the big deal?
I saw him last Friday.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
So it's not a big. I don't care. It doesn't get
stupid.
I'm just happy David Wright's starting. That was more important to me.
All right, Scott.
This might be his last
All
Star game he starts. Who knows?
Who, David Wright?
Last All Star game that he starts.
You think so?
It may be. You never know. I'm not saying last All Star game he'll play in. It just may be the last All Star game he starts. You never know. I mean, he got lucky at the end here to pass Poppy Fat Panda or whatever, you know. Poppy Peppy Panda.
Oh, he's in trouble, too.
Yeah. By the way, great column by me on placetobenation.com coming out next Monday.
Wow, that was sad.
Like, I'm the master of
the table. Just let me plug you.
Tell about what's going on Monday, JR. No. They might as well, so we won't be on before then. So, anyway, I just love pimping the site. It's fantastic. So, yeah. I love pimping everything.
No, you did. You have a good piece on the Home Run Derby coming up.
Yes.
And Steve Rogers will be live blocking the All-Star game Tuesday night.
That'll be cool. Looking forward to that.
A lot going on. We'll get to that towards the end of the show. So why don't we take a break?
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, Andrew Risch is going to join us. We're going to talk about the NBA draft. We're going to talk about Dwight Howard. Then mm-hmm. we get some trivia coming. And we'll wrap things up.
Okay. Because
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What I'd like to have right now.
Chad, do you ever feel that the world revolves around WWF?
I think you mean WWE there, Barf.
Yeah, whatever, but what about David Crockett?
He likes it!
Well, what about Jimmy Valiant?
I'm gonna get y'all until I get you, Paul Jones. Oh.
The Four Horsemen.
We are a family, and we are the best.
The Omni, the Dangerous Alliance.
Please welcome the newest members of the Dangerous Alliance, Arn Anderson and Larry Zbysko.
Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express.
The Fantastics are putting the U.S. Tag Team title on the line against the Midnight Express.
Main events with actual work rate in them.
Woo! 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 All right!
It's just not fair to Flair.
It's not fair for Flair.
If this is what you're looking for, please check out Where the Big Boys Play podcast, the only pure NWA and WCW supercard podcast out there.
While you were in Hollywood making movies, Thunder Lips, I was winning world titles.
So a guy from across the pond and a dude from the south, Where the Big Boys Play. It's a great podcast. Harvard Chat are awesome. Check them out. Also, check out WrestleChat.net, indeed where it's at. Great message board, plenty of topics to browse, the Still Real to Us podcast, and much, much more. Also, our message board, which is awesome, bigelow34.proboards.com. It's where PTB really began. Written reviews and a boatload of them in PTB Nation. We have you to thank for that. Plus the territory wars, a whole lot more. If you want a one-touch spot for our show, you can head there. Also, head to Stitcher.com and the Stitcher app for all phones and tablets. And more details on that. Also, our good friend Graham Cawthon at thehistoryofwwe.com, the best research site you will ever find. Also, another sponsor to the show, the Wrestling Forum, TWFnews.com, their wrestling forum, a blog site, much, much more. The guys at TWF creating a wrestling media nation, many blogs, podcasts, and vodcasts. Yours can be included in the official forum of WrestleChat.net and the place to be. We've joined up as well. So check them out, find out what they're about at TWFnews.com. Also, you can check out our show at GetThePointRadio.com. My good friend Mike, it's a great online radio station. Not in the mood for wrestling, but you want to listen to music, pop it on. He plays music all day long. But you can also check his archive on iTunes, and all of our shows are there as well. Big site.
This is legendary ring announcer and WWE Hall of Famer, the Fink, Howard Finkel. And you're listening to the Place to Be podcast.
He's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay. 'Cause the Million Dollar Man always gets his way.
All right, Scott, we're back. Hope you guys enjoyed that sprint through the headlines, world of sports. Let's quickly talk about the website, Scott, placetobeanation.com. Big things popping over there.
Yes.
We had a big day today. Big day every day.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have today? It's, I lost my thing now. I fell apart. Well, we had a piece on TV, surprising TV deaths from Jen Angle.
Yes, I couldn't read that because some of it was spoilers of shows I haven't watched yet. But
yes, there are spoilers in there. We called.
She does.
Out
she does warn you. She does warn you. So.
Yes. We have the Desert Island Pop Culture Tournament going on. We're on to day six now. So 7 and 8 will play out the rest of this week. We'll take a week off and come back with round 2 once all the voting's closed. There's a lot of close matchups. If you haven't voted yet, please do. We have some nice new podcast posted today. Off the Top Rope looks at Spring Stampede 99, answering the 10 count, and of course the Kings of Sport. Talked about some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight. That show's always entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah, yesterday we had Weber Has Issues, looked at Batman 66 and Satellite Sam. Jeremy Nichols looked at The House of Horror, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Of course, you get Scott's Raw recap up there.
Mm-hmm.
We have two interesting pieces, two very in-depth pieces from the gentleman that's about to join us right now, Mr. Andrew Reich, did a piece on Dwight Howard's escape from L.A. and another one on Money in the Bank, which we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So why waste any more time? Let's bring in our NBA expert over at PlaceToBeNation.com, our breakout superstar, Mr. Andrew Reich. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, guys. It's been about a month or so since I've been on there, so... Mm. Everything's been great with the new website. I've been writing a lot of material for it to start off.
You are a workhorse. Where Brad is very concerned that you're just going to burn out and like end up in an alley somewhere. We're not going to hear from you.
Yeah.
For a month.
Well, the draft one was really exhausting because I kept having to redo the mock because one of the main foreign guys dropped out, so I had to redo the whole thing, and I really did not want to do it, but at the last second I just decided, okay, well let's just you know, flush the format a little bit and start over. And, you know, I got a few of them right, maybe like three. But, you know, that's the NBA draft in a nutshell. It's mainly a crapshoot after the lottery. You really have no idea. Like Solomon Hill going to the Pacers, like no one saw that coming.
No. And I'm sure you weren't far off from a lot of the so-called experts out there. So,
yeah,
your draft piece was really in-depth. And for anyone, you know, it wasn't just a draft preview. It was a draft overview. So you can go in there and read, you know, Andrew gives bios and recaps of each of the guys. So it's not like you just, all right, the draft's over. We can't read it anymore. There's a lot of interesting info and tidbits on all the guys that were drafted there as well. So what were your thoughts on the draft, Andrew? Who are your big winners, losers, surprises?
The one that I thought lost big time was Charlotte. I just don't like Cody Zeller that much. I just don't think he's got the makings of an elite NBA player. That one really got stuck in my teeth a little bit. I liked what the Hawks did, even though what the Hawks are doing are basically a total rebuild out of the anticipation that they're not going to be able to get star players with their cap space. So they went with some really young guys with great potential like Schroeder and Lucas Nogueira and guys like that. So I think they did themselves well. And if there was a – I mean, the Lakers only had one pick. It was a second-round pick, so I can't kill them. The biggest winner may have been the Sixers, only because they got guys that are going to help them in the future. Mm. Even though they gave up Drew Holiday and basically made a fire sale with a total rebuild in mind to get there, but they got Nerlens Noel, Michael Carter Williams, you know, basically for after giving up one guy. So
yeah, I mean, those are two of the top. Winners. Those are two of the guys they get in rub as maybe being the top pick this year, and they
exactly
have them both.
I haven't gotten a look at them in summer league. I have seen a little bit of Victor Oladipo, and he looks like he's as good as advertised. So he's interesting. And the other guy that looked shockingly good in summer league. I mean, it's a summer league. I mean, Josh Selby lit up summer league last year. So it's always kind of okay. How good is he really? But the other guy that I've seen is Boston Celtics Gonzaga guy Kelly Olynyk. He's incredible.
Yeah, he's been.
He's
playing
got all the makings.
Off.
Yeah, yeah, you know, you just never know with some of these guys. I mean, that happened with Andre Drummond. I mean, no one thought he would be – everyone thought he's like 3 years away. First year in the league, he looks like a stud, you know.
You think Rondo gets traded from Boston?
No, I really think that Rondo is going to really try to make it work for at least a season. And if it turns into a bit of a nightmare where things go south, I could see him demanding a trade in the summer of next year when – a lot of teams are going to be inching for cap space or kind of putting a lot of bad players on their roster in order to get a higher pick in the NBA draft. I don't think, like Bill Simmons is saying, that everybody is tanking for Andrew Wiggins. Like, I don't see it that way. I just think that a lot of teams are taking it easy. I don't think anyone is saying, okay, we need the number one pick. I think a lot of them are saying, well, the lottery this year is really good, so if we don't make it in the playoffs, we got cap space to boot, and we've got a good rookie that we can pick up, you know.
Well, the rumor around here for Rondo is that basically they told him, you have one chance, and if you fuck up, as soon as you prove you're healthy, we're trading you. That's the story that came out today up here.
It makes sense. Yeah. You know, he's an egomaniac. I mean, even people, when Garnett and Pierce and Ray Allen were there, I mean, it was pretty obvious just watching on the court that Allen and Rondo did not get along at all.
No.
I think people down in Boston will infamously tell you when LeBron went in on that dunk in game 7, Rondo just gave him like the chew out of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. just to prove a point in the fourth quarter of game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, which shows, you know, Rondo's gets more animated yelling at his teammates for not doing something right than actually playing.
Yep.
So, you know, it rubbed people the wrong way. I think he's a good teammate. I think he's a hard worker. I don't think he's a guy that kind of takes the easy way out. But he has clashed with Doc. He's clashed with management before. They tried to trade him twice before. And, you know, I just don't think it's going to end well for Rondo. I just don't know how long it's going to be. I think it's going to take another year before Ainge convinces himself that Rondo's not going to be able to last in Boston. But I think he's going to try it out 1 year with Brad Stevens, see how it works.
What? All right, I got to ask you about two local guys. Ricky Lito going to Dallas. Thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I've saw a little bit of him in the high school competitions, and he's a very good, quick two guard, and he's taller than people think. I think I said in my drafting, I said he would have been kind of similar to Michael Carter Williams if he had actually played.
Right.
You know, people would have said, wow, Ricky Lito is like the leader of his team in the same vein that Carter Williams was for Syracuse. So I think if he had actually played for 2 years in Providence, people would have really had him on his radar and had him in that lottery level. So to get him in a second round pick and to just have to gimmick around a couple of trades to get him and to get a non-guaranteed contract to sign him up was a bit of a steal for Dallas. Because if you've watched the NBA free agency, I mean, Dallas needs all the help they can get, and they've done a lot of really kind of mid-level pickups with guys like Jose Calderon and a kind of washed-up Devin Harris and guys like that, guys that I don't know if are going to be able to immediately help them. So getting him, and I think they also got Shane Larkin to basically be the new point guard and the new backup point guard. You know, that's basically their future, Lito and Larkin.
Yeah, I think it's a good spot for Lito. I was hoping he'd go to a winning team where he'd get some time to learn. And
it would have been fun to see if him and Chris Dunn had stayed together for at least a year and see what happened. Because that was Ed Cooley's vision.
And I still don't get it. I mean, him in the Big East on a national stage that they're going to have with Fox, and they're going to be a tournament team with or without him, I think. With him, they probably would have been a top 15 team.
Well, when Macklemore stayed, that helped him out a lot. I don't think if Macklemore had come out like Lito did, I think Macklemore would have been in the same position Lito was. He would have been a second round pick too. Because no one wants to recruit a sight unseen.
Right.
Everybody wants to, I mean, unless it's a guy that you think has some sort of a niche that you can fit in, like the Greek guy, Antetokounmpo, you know, somebody like that that you've seen a couple times offhand and said, well, you know, he might be able to do something. With Lito, no one saw him, so it was hard to say what he's capable of doing. But I think he could break out if he gets an opportunity for a couple of years. I think in the NBA he's going to wind up being like a really energetic defensive guard.
All right, any thoughts on Vincent Council with the Heat and Summer League here?
In the Summer League? I haven't watched the Heat at all. I did realize that they traded their way back into the draft to get James Ennis, who I hadn't seen at all, which tells me that they like him a lot because they dumped all their draft picks in signing trades with Cleveland and Toronto just to get the big three and clear the cap space. So for them to keep a draft pick or trade back into the draft to take a guy means they really like him, like Norris Cole. So for them to get Ennis was huge. I think they kind of envision him as a backup to LeBron. Council's a little point guard, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't know if he'll catch on. I was glad he got a summer league gig because everyone assumed he was going right to Europe. So I'm hoping maybe he can hang on even in the D League for a year and maybe try and make a team.
Yeah, I think Providence will. I think they'll do okay. You know, they still got a lot of guys back. Is Gerard Coleman gone or is he still there?
Well, Coleman left before last year. Well, we got time. We'll talk about Providence before we'll talk about them in a couple.
Yeah, we'll always get back to that. Yeah.
All right, let's get to Scott's team. Oh, go Scott.
No, I just wanted one question. What do you think about this new Kings backcourt of Ben McLemore and Ray McCallum? I like it, actually. I'm kind of glad they traded Evans. I kind of like the way McCallum was a solid guard at Detroit, a good court vision, and McLemore is a chucker and he could drain it. So what do you think of those two picks?
I like it. You know, the Kings loss turned out to be, you know, the Pelicans gain, so you know, losing Evans does help out the Kings into running more of a traditional offense. If you've watched a lot of the criticisms with free agency, the Kings have been getting just absolutely murdered. You know, they're just saying that they're dumping players left and right, and they're letting all their best players go. They did pick up Carl Landry, but the team was never that good in the first place. The problem is that they have DeMarcus Cousins at the lead, and he's a coach killer. You know, he's just a guy that's never happy. But if you can get a guard like McCollum, who's more of a traditional point guard, to feed the ball instead of these me first, you know, let me take my shot kind of guys like Evans and Isaiah Thomas, then it's going to help him. I saw McCollum in the Horizon League in Detroit, and he was very good. The only reason he played Detroit was because his dad was the coach.
Yeah.
Everyone recruited him. He would have easily fit in somewhere like Duke or Indiana or Michigan State, somewhere like that. He would have fit perfectly. So if he was on a big name school, yeah, it would have helped him out much. I love McLemore. He was my favorite player of all the players. So I think he's the guy who's got the most pro ready like ability to make a shot, get on the attack. He's just a really, really good player. But the problem is a lot of people saw him in the tournament and he kind of shut it down. He wasn't terribly aggressive. So there's some major criticism. The good thing about the NBA is you don't have to be aggressive all the time. You just have to pick your spots because you got players, good players all over the court that are going to help you out. You know, in college, you know, you can pick on a guy and just make the whole defense revolve around making his life miserable. And people will think that he had a terrible game or that he's not motivated. Well, maybe there just wasn't that many good players around him, and it's hard, more difficult to get yourself going. In the NBA, I mean, especially with the way that they're ticky-tacking on touch fouls, you can basically – it's one-on-one pretty much every time you go down the attack, you know, because you're going to draw a foul no matter what. So McCollum's just a good point guard who can just run a regular offense. And I really like Mike Malone. Mike Malone was a coach for the Hornets with Monty for a year. He coached the Warriors for about 2 years. He really retooled that team into what they are. And I think the Warriors with Iguodala now have become the most exciting team on paper to watch in the entire league. You know, so Malone's, if he could figure out a blueprint in Sacramento with the new ownership and their stabilized location, I think Sacramento can try to get better, but it's they're going to have to bottom out a little bit longer.
All right, Andrew, let's give you 2 minutes here because you talked a lot about it in the article, and we'll point people there. But just quickly, Dwight Howard.
I think it was a smart decision in terms of basketball. It's like it was similar to Miami. It was a good basketball decision. What I found interesting, and once I finished the article, I didn't know where they were going until I published it at the last second, was that what the Rockets envisioned with Dwight and with James Harden and with the Rockets as a core. Were they going to go kind of with the Shaq Kobe thing, where they went with the inside-outside duo, or were they going to try to make like a triumvirate where you had a third guy like Josh Smith or Andrew Bynum, or not a Bynum, that's a bad fit, but somebody, you know what I'm saying, another good free agent that they could bring in and do get the job done for him in case the other two need help, like the other big threes. Instead, they went with the 1-2 punch with a lot of role players, mainly shooters behind them. If you see the Houston Rockets roster right now, it's all shooters. So they're going to try to run small ball with Dwight Howard, which I don't understand, because it's impossible to run small ball around him because he's a guy that thrives in the half court. So they might have to change their offense a little bit, but I think they can make it work with that offense with the 3-point shooters. I wrote in the article that I think it's interesting that the Lakers rebuilt themselves with Shaq and Kobe, a 1-2 punch, and the Rockets in the same time tried to rebuild with older guys like Drexler and Olajuwon and Barkley, and they kind of faded out really fast, and the Lakers survived. And I think that Morey figured, well, I want to go with youth, and I want to go with a key guy at the guard spot and a key guy at the center spot, and then I'll make the rest of it work. And I think that's kind of the formula he's going to follow to try to win. I still don't think his legacy is sealed in Houston. I still think he's got one more stop, because I am not convinced that in 3 years Dwight Howard is going to be happy, because he's never happy. He's a petulant child. He's a big man petulant child.
All right. So, I think that's a great way to leave that off. We will direct you over to placetobenation.com. Andrew wrote about 9,000 words on this, so it was a great read. It really was. It was really well written, and
looks at
all the angles and all the different options for Dwight Howard. So we'll direct you there. Mr. Reich, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, no problem at all. Not a problem at all.
We'll do this more often, of course, now that you're one of our key members.
Oh, good to see you, Scott.
PlaceToBeNation.com. So, Scott, let's hit the trivia. We've got two more matchups left here in round one, so we're going to wrap that up tonight. Mm-hmm. Rob King, Mark Clare, Dave Hall, Dave Crisafi. We'll be back to wrap up. Okay, Nation, here we are with PTB Trivia matchup number 15 here in the 2003, this is the last time I talked to one of our opponents, 2013 Trivia Tournament, of course. Oh, yeah, it's been a lot of matchups. Okay, so, of course, the man who we just made reference to, who I last spoke to in person, I think, in 2005 we discovered, is, of course, the one and only, the man from the left coast, sipping on wine up on the roof, Mr. Mark Clare. How you doing?
Sipping on wine. Unfortunately, I'm not even on the roof either. Even that part's a fraud.
You are a fraud.
I'm on my bed.
Sexually
enough.
Not even gin and juice out there in California. It's got to be wine. All right. And his opponent, I believe, coming to us from the Great White North, is Mr. Rob King. Am I correct in that, Rob?
You are.
Okay. Rob's been with us for a while, too. Longtime fan. All right. So you guys know the rules. We just went over them. And you had a friendly handshake like a good Ring of Honor match would be. You both respect the code of honor. We like that.
We're going 60 minutes like Punk and Joe.
That's your first question. 1-0, Mark Clare. All right. All right, Scott, tell us who's going first and kick us off.
All right. Well, it will be Mr. King that will open this first round, and you, Mr. Clare, will go second, and then we will go up and down from there.
You can almost say it's the Clare Crow and Mr. King.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Was that on before or after Murder, She Wrote?
I'm punchy. We've been doing this for a while.
It's only a decade before I was born. No big deal.
Yeah. Well, it's like 3 decades after Scott was born, so we're good.
Exactly. Yes. All right. Mr. King, pick a number between 1 and 227.
We'll go with 45.
Okay. All right. 10 seconds. How many total WWE Tag Team Championships does Billy Gunn have? 8, 9, or 10?
Ooh, he has a lot. That doesn't help. I will go with 9.
So close, Mr. King. It was 10. 10 yes. Total title reigns for Billy Gunn.
Ah.
With many more to come, I'm sure.
I hope not.
All right, Mr. Clare, put down the Chardonnay and give me two. Give me a number.
It's up to 3 to what? To what?
1 to 227.
We're off to a good start.
Yeah. To what now? I'll go 227.
Okay. Who was fired?
That's why dubbing,
who was fired for dubbing NBA tapes? No.
Larry Curran. Boom.
Okay.
Belichick.
Number one. Yes, I know. Who put the first WWF officially recognized blemish on Mr. Perfect's record?
Near this last week. I don't know, answer. But I'm going to take a guess. British Bulldog.
Not for you.
I knew it was wrong.
It's Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Same oh initials. My God, I knew that.
You had the same initials.
Yes. I almost thought you were going to say it when you started with the B noise. I thought it was coming. All right, so that's all right. We're still even here.
Still even here, and Claire, another number.
Why don't I go with 42?
Okay. Right. Okay. 10 seconds. Which member of the WWF roster helped Virgil finally break away from Ted DiBiase in early 1991?
That would be the Hot Rod, Roddy Piper.
Nice work, Mr. Clare. Nice work.
Ding.
All right, Rob King, let's do it.
All right.
Number 9.
Number 9? Number 9. Okay. 10 seconds. Due to a unique stipulation, what was the loser of the British Bulldog versus Ken Shamrock match at SummerSlam 1997 forced to do?
Dog food. He had to eat dog food.
Pretty good. It's pretty good.
Nice work, Mr. King. It was a very unique stipulation.
That is for sure. And you have tied it up at 1. Pick another number.
We'll go with 24.
Okay. 10 seconds. What did Steve Austin vow to do to Owen Hart if Hart defeated him at SummerSlam 1997?
Oh, wow. Was it never wrestle in Canada again?
Wrong.
He would vow to kiss his ass if he couldn't whip it. That was interesting, though. 2 SummerSlam 97 questions, back to back.
Yes, back to back.
Both stipulations. All right, Mr. so we're Clare. At 1-1. Mr. Clare can take a pretty commanding lead if he gets both here.
Yes.
Pick I will go with number 23.
Okay. All right. 10 seconds. In which Cyndi Lauper music video did Captain Lou Albano star in?
Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
Oh, yeah!
Come on, I was going to smack you if you didn't get that one.
That's hideous.
I just had to take my proper, you know, moment to rethink to make sure I don't say something stupid.
Are there any other Cyndi Lauper songs?
I don't think so.
Didn't you do that Goonies song, or am I thinking of someone else? Goonies are good enough?
You can take those Goonies, stick the Goonies in your nose.
All right.
You can put those Goonies. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Right, Clare, Clare take a commanding lead.
You could set yourself up for victory here if you get this one. But we are now in the mediums. You get 20 seconds. This question's a little tougher. Pick a number between 1 and 223.
We will go with 223.
Okay. All right. To set yourself up for victory, Which NFL team did Brock Lesnar leave wrestling to try out for in 2004?
I know this one, Minnesota Vikings.
All right, Mr. King, you need to get two straight, an easy and a medium, to take this to overtime.
Going to be like Boston in Game 7 against the Leafs. Big comeback.
You're going to do it.
Certainly hope so. Suck up to you there, too. That might help.
Well, they could use one right now. Put this thing to bed. All right, pick a number.
71.
Okay. Okay. Which two MTV Jersey Shore stars were spoofed by a TNA couple in 2010?
Oh, Robbie E. and the girl. The girl was Snooki, I'm assuming. The guy was that DJ guy who spins records now. Paulie D.?
Man, that was painful, but you got there.
I was hoping a description would be good enough to get the answer.
I was going to give you DJ Pauly, I would have given you. I didn't need the D, but you got it.
Yeah.
I had my victory fist clenched. I was ready.
Well, he said Robbie E, and I'm like, oh, he's going to miss it. And then he did Snooki, and then I'm like, all right, he's back in it. And then he got it.
I was trying to think of their wrestling names. Becky Bayless, I think.
Yeah, it was Cookie and Robbie E.
Cookie, oh, that's it.
Yeah. All right, it is 3-2. Claire still sitting there awaiting. However, we are now in the mediums. So, Mr. King, you still must get this right to force overtime. Pick a number between 1 and 223.
We'll go with 45 again.
Okay. All righty. There we go. All right. If you get it right, we go to overtime. If you get it wrong, Claire moves on. Which manager did China attack when she made her WWF debut in February of 1997?
Oh, geez. February 97?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Terry Reynolds?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Of course, under the name Marlena, but yes, it was Terry Reynolds. China swung around like a rag doll when she made her debut.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, here we are in overtime, Mr. Claire. You thought you had the victory locked up, but Mr. King battles back.
The fist is unclenched.
Unclenched. All right, we are into the hards now. So, Claire, you need to get this right. Put the pressure on King, but he will get a chance to match you.
Okay. You get 30 seconds for these, and you're going to probably need all of it. 30 seconds is a lot longer than you think, so use it. Mr. Claire. Pick a number between 1 and 219.
I'm going to go with 22.
Okay. Which WrestleMania was the first DVD the WWE ever released?
First DVD. Do I get like a 10-second bell at some point?
I count. I help you out.
It's going to be a guess.
You have 20 seconds.
All right, definitely in the 2000s.
10 seconds.
I'm going to go WrestleMania 20?
To do worse than Josh Richter.
Mr. Claire, as an avid listener of the show, you should know that we just talked about this very recently. I'm sure Scott was splooging all over it. And that is WrestleMania 15. In 1999 was the first DVD WrestleMania released.
Yep. The first DVD, period.
I'm sure Scott spent 20 minutes telling you where you could find it, how you could buy it, what the shelf it's on.
Tune out during the Scott part.
Well, there you go. All right, Mr. King, you can win here with the correct answer.
Hard, you said?
Yes.
We'll do 45 again then.
All right, he's rolling with the lucky number.
Rolling with the lucky number. Okay. All right. For the win, 30 seconds. Which WWE Hall of Famer trained Taz?
I have no idea. 15 seconds. Will guess. Was he a? I don't even know if he's in the Hall of Fame.
10 seconds.
Killer Kowalski.
It was unpredictable. Johnny Rods trade Taz, but yes, Killer Kowalski.
I couldn't tell by that soundbite whether he was right or wrong. I didn't know what to do. I was like, "What do I celebrate? Do I?"
In the clip, Jesse says you're even dumber than Monsoon, so no.
Got it. Okay. I get it right. I couldn't tell what he said.
All right, Mr. King, you're still in control here, though. You can put the pressure on Claire with a correct answer.
19.
Okay. All right. 30 seconds. What gimmick was the Halloween Havoc 1992 match between Sting and Jake Roberts?
It was a... Well, it was a spin-the-wheel-make-the-deal match, which became a glove match. Or, do you need me to be more specific?
Yeah, if you could. What type of glove?
Coal miner's glove match.
Hey, I may have a winner! Well done, Mr. King. Well done.
All right, Mr. Clare. Pressure's might want to finish off that bottle of Chardonnay. Because
I literally just finished this glass.
All right. Pick a number. If you get it right, we go to another round. You get it wrong, Mr. King moves on to the next round.
23.
What was that? I didn't hear you.
23.
Okay.
Yep.
So tough.
30 seconds. What was the announce team for the first ever TNA pay-per-view in 2002?
Oh, man.
Sorry, Mark.
Okay.
20 seconds.
This fucking guy, one guy. Mike Tenay, I think. Is it one guess? If that's already wrong, you can just tell me I'm wrong.
You got it. It's one.
And is that Jeremy Borash? Is that the guy's name? Is that another guy? Nothing for you.
Right. It was Mike Tenay, Don West, and Ed Ferreira.
I never would get that.
No, you would not.
Yeah,
I haven't seen 1 second of
it. Yeah, that was really hard.
But I did know Rob King's question. Not that it matters, but I knew it. I was like, coal miner's glove, and I thought he wasn't going to get it because he said glove, and I was like, maybe he'll lose on technicality. And then anyway, congrats, Larb. You did a great job.
I don't think we've had a snatch defeat from the hands of victory almost as much as Mark Claire did. I feel like you were the closest we've ever had to winning that didn't win. So
yeah, I had two clenched fists. I mean, it doesn't get more closer.
Rob King, though, when the clutch came through. So, Mr. Claire, nice work. It was a good showing. You did not do worse than Josh Richards, so nice work there.
Which is my only goal.
Yes, yeah, and, mine too.
Mr. King, we'll be talking to you to set up your round two matchup. And Mr. Scott Criscola, let's take a break. We'll be right back. This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home. What's up, Nation? We are back in our last and 16th opening round matchup in the 2013 Place to Be Trivia Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott, this is a big one because we have the runner-up from last year's tournament involved tonight.
Yes, we have the bridesmaid tonight.
One of the laughing stocks of last year. The man who barely hung in against Josh Richter, of course. Yeah. All right, let's kick off with the defending runner-up, and that is, of course, from across the world in Australia, at least across the world from us, and that is Mr. Dave Hall. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm never going to live down that runner-up tag unless I can win, am I?
That's right. You've got to take care of business, and it starts here tonight. And of course, the man we're talking about is the one of the stalwarts, the king of the tailgate at Place to Be tailgate for WrestleMania. Of course, brought the grill, was cranking that thing all night long, and that is Mr. David Crisafi. David, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm going to try to keep up my reputation and be the laughing stock again this
That's
year.
So. Right. We need it to be worse than Dave Crisafi.
Yes.
All right, boys, same rules as last year, pretty much. It's the first to three. You're going to go easy, easy, medium. Scott's going to flip a coin to determine who goes first, and that person who goes last will be the home team. So if you're last in that particular round, you always get a chance to match, to tie, to take the lead. And that's how we do. So anything else, Scott? I think that's all the rules.
Nope. I think that's everything. And the coin has been flipped. Mr. Crisafi, you will go first in this round. And Mr. Runner-Up himself, Dave Hall, will go second. And we will snake it from there. 10 seconds
and
for
if
the
you guys,
easies.
Yes, 10 seconds. Yep.
Yep. 10 seconds for the two easies. 20 seconds for the medium. If we do go to overtime, we will delve out the hard questions. Those will be 30 seconds. And as we've had so far in the tournament, 30 seconds is a long time. So don't use it. Think hard if we get to that level. 30 seconds is a lot longer than you think. So.
And if either of you all guys right. have a question on one of the answers you're unsure of if it's correct or not, which has happened this year, so to speak mm-hmm. up at the time. Once we move to the next question. That's it. We're sealed and moved on. So just speak up then if you have a question about it. No worries. We will look it up and confirm. And we'll go from there.
Should I just all say right. I don't know right now?
Yes, you win, Crisafi.
Saying
so
I don't
honest.
Know is not good enough.
You just got to remember Dan and Australia are on holiday. You'll have all the answers.
That's right.
You guys, well, you guys are ahead of us, right? So you know the answers before we even ask the questions.
Yes, exactly.
You should already know
that's
these.
Like that's it. We already know who's going to win, so
that's
we're just doing it for you guys.
That's right.
That's right. Okay. You guys are like in the TARDIS. All right. Okay, Mr. Crisafi, you will go first.
All right.
Pick a number between 1 and 227.
6.
6. Okay. All right. 10 seconds. According to Bret Hart, who should Mean Gene Okerlund not doubt due to this person being a serious professional?
Can you repeat the question?
I can. According to Bret Hart, who should Mean Gene Okerlund not doubt due to this person being a serious professional? You have 3 seconds.
Himself?
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Come on, Dave Crisafi. El Dandy.
I'm trying to surpass my goose egg and get a negative.
Jesus, you get negative for that one.
Oh, God.
People don't get these podcast questions.
To do worse than Dave Crisafi.
Yes.
Hope we save that one. All right. Mr. Runner-Up, Dave Hall, pick a number. 1 and 227.
Well, let's go 89.
89. Okay. Okay. You have 10 seconds. At No Way Out 1998, which two heels lost to the Headbangers, leading to a feud between the two?
That would be Goldust, or the artist formerly known as Goldust, and Mark Merrow.
Oh, yeah!
All right, 1-0, Mr. Hall. 1-0.
Okay. And now, Mr. Hall, you have another number.
Okay, let's make it 22.
Okay. Okay. 10 seconds again, and for a 2-0 lead. Having an issue with my... Oh, stand by. There we go. Okay. Okay. In the summer of 1996, in WCW, three women served as valets for the Four Horsemen. Name two of them. 10 seconds.
Woman and Miss Elizabeth.
Of course, the third was...
Deborah McMichael.
Yes, very good.
Jesus.
That's like rubbing it in, Crisafi. Even give you the third one.
All right, Crisafi. You need to do some work here.
Yes.
Can I defer to Dave on the next question?
No.
You can use him as a lifeline.
You can use him as a lifeline. You can call him if you want. All right. All right. You're behind the eight ball here. Pick a number.
All right. 66.
Okay. 66. Okay. Again, you have 10 seconds. In 2010, which wrestler finally unmasked CM Punk after Punk had been shaved bald weeks earlier? 10 seconds.
I wasn't watching in 2010. That's not fair. Randy Orton.
To do worse than Josh Richter.
It was the Big Show. The Big Show.
All right.
Okay. Mr. Grisafi, another number, please.
123.
Okay. Once again, 10 seconds. Which past PTB guest was a druid during Undertaker's entrance at WrestleMania 20?
WrestleMania 20.
I need an answer.
Don't know.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You get nothing. You lose.
That, of course, was the one and only Mr. John Walters, RJ Brewer. Multiple-time guest here on the PTV podcast.
Yes.
All right, Hall, let us go to bed here.
Okay. Dave, you are now in the mediums, so you now get 20 seconds. And simply put, you get this right, you move on to the next round. Pick a number between 1 and 223.
Let's go with 89 again.
Okay. All right. For the win. And move on to the next round. You have 20 seconds. In November 2004, TNA held their first official monthly pay-per-view. What was it called?
TNA's first pay-per-view. It wasn't Slammiversary. What month was it? What was the month, guys? Did you say?
November 2004.
Yes. I was going to say December, but yes, November.
November 2004. Slammiversary was earlier in the year. Was it Victory Road?
Dave Hall with the quick, clean, no caffeine victory.
Did I win?
If this was golf, you would have won, Grisafi. Yes.
Grisafi, you just won Grant Owen's autograph. There you go.
Mate, you're in Australia. You always win, mate.
He's going to autograph the top of your van for you. All right, Grisafi, you are the man as always. Don't let this trivia keep you down. Study up for next year.
All right, we'll do.
All right, Dave. And Dave Hall, congratulations. We'll be in touch. We'll set up your second round matchup. And that is
Thank
it. The
you.
First round, Scott, is now complete. We'll kick off second round matchups. And we'll get things running shortly. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, Scott. Round one in the books. Rob King with a comeback.
Yeah, I was thinking we were going to get the savant there, Mr. Clare.
He almost pulled it off.
To come out of nowhere with the Cavassier in his hand, but yes. Not quite.
No,
but not quite.
So, and of course, Dave Hall makes quick work of Mr. Grisafi to advance to round number two. So round number two will commence probably next week. Depends if I get everything queued up and lined up.
Okay.
Either be next week or the week after.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we have on tap two vintage vaults for you.
Yes.
No Way Out 2000. And WrestleMania 2000. So very big week here, Place to Be Nation coming up. And of course, that takes us right into St. Mary's, Scott. So we'll be seeing each other for many days.
Yes.
So let's wrap up. Please, Nation, visit placetobenation.com. We don't ask much of you. All we do is ask you to go there and read our stuff. Click around. A lot of cool things. If you're interested in writing, let us know. Whether it be sports, TV, movies, wrestling, whatever you want to do. We'll take a look at your sample and maybe get a gig with us. We'd love to have you.
Yes.
So that's Scott. I am Justin. Have a great weekend, Place to Be Nation. We'll see you Monday night from Hartford, Connecticut.
Thank God I never got a Dwight Howard jersey.
Thank God that God is an awesome God.
That is true. Thank God that God is God. Sham God.
Was not an awesome God.
No.
He was in Providence. Not after that. Yeah. Let's hope Ricky Lito is better than him. And won't you suck it to me? Suck it to me. Suck it to me. Suck it to me. Suck it to me. I can take it like a pro. You know, do a long throw, back throw. My hormones jumping like a disco. I be popping mess like some Crisco. All you gotta say is miss it go. To me like you want to. Ooh,
it like a pro, you don't know. Do a long throw with the backstroke. My hormones jumping like a disco. I be popping dish like some Crisco. And all you gotta say is, miss it, go. But when you say it, go, I won't move. Sock it to me. Sock it to me like you want to. I can take it like a pro, you know. Do a long throw with the backstroke. My hormones jumping like a disco. I be popping meds like some Crisco. And all you gotta say is, miss it, go. Why Missy be socking it to niggas like Riri? The baddest industry bitches of the century. Hit hard like penitentiary did. Finally admitted that we the shit combination is lethal. Popping Patron with Missy in the 600 with no see-through. For the repercussion, fucking with shit like this. We call a puppet constantly making niggas suffer the consequence. Gotta get the ends, bitch. House in the shower, the catty crib in Atlanta with the Vince. Niggas been helping the puppet, but ain't try shit. Got plenty motherfuckers that'll ride quick. But sidekick wanna bust. Take up a itch when you fuckin' with me. Jealous, cause I live more plush. Me and Missy leave a nigga with a hair brush. Bring the ruckus plus. I'm peddling and pushing, picking up profits. But what I'm selling never gon' stop it. Sockin' it to niggas and rockin' it. Droppin' them on the spot. Heat up any block or at a shop. Knockin' you off of your sock. Guaranteed platinum. Watch two of the coldest bitches get hot.
I be the B-R-A-T, hubby Missy. We some bad bitches who be fucking it up. I'm the B-R-A-T, hubby Missy. And we some bad bitches who be fucking it up.
I'm your nigga for life, baby. Let's continue to drive all these motherfuckers crazy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, Timberland, I see you, baby. I feel you. Sock it to him, goddammit. It's 9-7. It's the motherfucking bitch era. What y'all niggas wanna do? The brat tat tat on that ass once more. I'm out the door, motherfucker. Yeah.